This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. So where do we stand now in Flint, Michigan? A water crisis in the middle of the presidential campaign that devastated the local community, caused heads to roll, and became a national issue. You remember it. A corrupt, poorly managed reconstruction program may now become a state settlement for the people of Flint. A federal judge approved the settlement that allocates $87 million to the city for the purpose of replacing roughly 18,000 contaminated water pipes by 2020 and phasing out temporary water centers by Flint residents. The question is, are citizens ready to take the cash and drink up and trust their local authorities, especially under a new federal administration talking about getting rid of the EPA altogether? Melissa Mays is a Flint resident, a parent, and a founder of the advocacy group Water You Fighting For. Melissa, you're kind of our point person here in the community of Flint. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Where do things stand as far as this settlement is concerned, and how's your water doing?
At last check, my lead was 1,740 parts per billion. The bacteria is sky high, and we have a lot of other cancer-causing byproducts in our water. So the shower still burns, hair's still falling out, still have rashes. So the settlement is a good first step to getting past that, because the only solution here in Flint is to rip out the contaminated pipes. We had won a preliminary injunction against the state to force them to deliver bottled water door to door until everyone had a certified filter in place. So that bottled water delivery was only going to last a month or two, and then we were going to be on our own. So we've got the bottled water delivery and the water distribution sites in place at least until September, unless the 90th percentile of lead goes above the 15 parts per billion, which is still way too high, not safe, ridiculous, but it's also why we get to monitor the test. So that's a huge part of the settlement as well. The residents actually get control over what's being said about our water a little bit.
Well, you sound like an expert, unfortunately, in this situation. The September deadline relates to the fact that this settlement will supposedly phase out all of the temporary measures, including the bottled water measures. Do you think they're on track to actually do that?
No, honestly, I don't, because their last tests were done when it was cold. And they said, oh, look, the lead levels have dropped. But whenever it's cold, all contaminant levels go down. So the next round of tests are due at the end of June, where it's going to be a lot hotter. So I don't think that that number is going to drop below the 15 parts per billion then. So they'll have to keep those water sites open until it is down.
You did say that hair is still falling out and you're still getting rashes in your showers. I would have thought you would have come up with an alternative for your own family as far as not drinking water, but, you know, bathing water is concerned.
Well, they haven't given us any alternatives. They keep saying it's safe to bathe. They continue to ignore the residents who show up with bags of hair, with photos of rashes. I had a bacterial infection for 7 weeks in my respiratory system and in my ears that my doctor contributes to the bacteria in the water. But I had to go to Water Defense, an outside independent expert, to test my water for bacteria because the state refuses to acknowledge that there's a problem with the showering water. We have no showering or bathing standards in the U.S., so we have to fight that uphill battle too, the same as we had to fight saying, hey, there's lead in the water. So with this, it's just another thing we're going to have to go up against. And so now we're testing different shower filters because the nearest family members I have to take a shower 6 hours away.
So bathing safety is actually not regulated, and you're guinea pigs in this.
Absolutely. And we aren't happy about that because that's how this whole water switch happened. We were guinea pigs to begin with to try for this new pipeline. And look how badly that turned out. So this is something that, again, we're going to use our tragedy here in Flint to try to change some laws and protect every other community in this country, because it's ridiculous that most of us get most of our exposure in the shower. So we got to make sure that that's safe as well. So it's kind of silly that we have to do this. It's 2017, but apparently we have to.
Melissa Mays is a Flint resident, a parent, and founder of the advocacy group Water You Fighting For. Thanks so much, Melissa.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.